Martin, who does the who has everything under control here, who does the sound system and recordings, asked me where I would be sharing from this morning, and I said I didn't know. That was last night. Then just before I went home, I said, now I do know. And I got home and, not home, but over to my room. And I found out that I didn't know. Then I got up this morning. And I found out I still didn't know. And now I am standing here. Going to try to minister to you from the Word, and the theme is God is in control, and I am completely out of control. So we're going to have a good time. But even when man is out of control, God is still completely in control. And I watch my kids, don't we, when they're little, huh? Playing about with their wooden tools, bashing and smashing everything that gets into their road, even their little brothers and sisters' heads, completely out of control. And I sincerely believe that God has it a lot easier keeping nature under control than he has keeping man in control. Lots of you women have that problem. It's difficult keeping your husband under control, isn't it? But let me put your heart to rest. That's not your job. That was a wee Scotsman. Father, we bring you this. How many minutes do I have? You're now pastor.
I'm right here.
There he is.
You got till 12:30.
12:30, right. That's an hour and 5 minutes. You got a German watch. Father, I bring you my mind, and very especially I bring you my belly, my emotional life, and I ask you just to bring it into control this morning, and we would see you, Lord Jesus. We would see you and what you have done for us, that we would come to rest and understand the great I am has everything under control. We praise you for these 35 minutes, and we ask you to make 2 hours out of them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Time is in his hands, not in the hands of the Swiss. Not Omega, but Alpha and Omega. John, I like this young man. He was a young man. Paul writes to Timothy and counsels him as a pastor, and he was a young man. He was a man. Lots of young people, girls and boys. Some of them are 30, 35, 40, and they are still girls and still boys. They have not yet grown. The body of Christ needs young men and young women. The body of Christ needs men and women. It's lovely to have children about. They bring so much freedom and laughter, and they sort of machen alles locker. They made everything's so easy and joyful, and we're so flexible with the kiddies, and it does us good, but we're in a battle, and we need young women and young men. We need fathers and mothers, and we need grandfathers, and I'm thankful for that. And not, what's the word, obsolete yet. Grandfathers and grandmothers in Christ, we need them. We're all part of this wonderful, as Raph was saying, great big family. Jesus speaks to his disciples who are going to be pastors and evangelists and says, I am that I am. I am the great I am. You'll never know who you are until you have understood who he is. Never. As Paul met the risen Savior, he was completely out of control, completely confused until he met Jesus. He was going the wrong way and didn't know it. He was no better than Jonah. Jonah was doing it consciously in rebellion. Paul did not know and understand. He wanted to serve God, and he was like the little boy with a hammer in his hand, smashing everything, smashing the heads of Christians and believing that he was pleasing God. And it's not till he met the great I am, until he understood who he was in God's presence, who he had become through and in Jesus Christ, in whom we rest. I am the true vine. When we think about vine, we think about the Vineland. There in Germany, in the south, round about Koblenz. I don't know, guess Karlsruhe as well. These beautiful Weinberge, the fields, the mountains, with the, what was that, Julia?
Lüdesheim.
Got wine as well, so anybody after wine, speak to Julia. Beautifully ordered. Die gute deutsche Ordnung. Beautiful, isn't it? Get clean. I went to Israel and I saw the vineyards in Israel. Like a desert. Stony desert. And you have, you know, the vine stalk shooting up out of the ground, and you can see the roots spreading and coming in. And then they all split as they do. It's the cross we see there. I am the vine. Stretching out its arms, reaching out, covering the ground, running across the sand, resting on rocks. That is the picture that we should see here. Like a shoot out of dry ground, yet it brings so much fruit. The great I am and his son, who is the vine, has filled my life with sap that is sweeter than wine. It's sweeter than honey, but it comes from the rock. And it's on the rock, and we're going to come to that, that this fruit rests. It's beautiful. It's so alive. The Bible is so wonderful. If I had it, I could take 5 hours. And that's why I love preaching in India, because anything under 3 hours is not spiritual. And with us, we are frustrated because the turkey's cold. You know, it was a great big juicy thing when we put it inside. And when we're after three hours, it looks like a black currant. All shriveled up. I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. He's got the whole vineyard under control. He sees. He sees the branches. He sees the fruit. We have a parallel here, and I'm going to do my best to reach out into Ephesians. And in Ephesians, we read, look, you don't have to turn your Bibles here all the time, but we find it in Ephesians 5. And Jesus is ministering through Paul, the Holy Spirit is ministering through Paul to the church in Ephesus, and he's explaining that there is a direct relationship between what Christ is for the church and what man should be for the woman, and what both of them should be for their children, and what their children should be before their parents. The small core, that's where it starts. Then we come into the church. It's at home, and an elder does not qualify unless he is in control of his home. And the great challenge of being in control of his kids. And we saw yesterday in Abraham, a man who stepped out to serve the Lord our Father, and he didn't have control of his wife as they passed through the world in Egypt. He was so grasped by fear that he would have been willing to sacrifice the life. He would have sacrificed the body of his wife to save his own skin. Yet Christ gives himself for the church as a man should and must give his life for his wife. Everything. Christ has given us everything. The true vine gives himself. A true man gives himself, the true vine to the church, the true man to his wife. And oh, what a beautiful church we have this morning. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. When I see you, all the countries you come from, all the cultures, what a privilege to come to Ralph and Loretta's home here. To the church that God has entrusted. It's such a privilege. It takes me back to my childhood in Peru. It takes me back to the present life that I have in Germany with my German wife and my German kids and my Indian son. And now I am here fellowshipping with people from all over the world. Here we have the vine reaching out. I am the vine. And we read in Psalm 1, I'll turn to it, you don't have to. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He would not walk in the counsel of the ungodly Abraham in Ur. He had to leave that filthy, wicked, heathen city where worship meant men giving their selves in a physical, sexual way to the priestesses in the temple. He said, I'm getting out of here. Is that not the way you feel looking into the world today? Paul said years ago, get me out of here, Lord. But I'm staying. You've left something for me to do. And that's what Raph has been ministering to, but people out there need us. But this is a filthy, dark city as Ur was. And Ur was a city like Babylon, just next door to Babylon. Who walks not in the ways of Babylon, not in the ways of Ur, but who walks in God's ways, who leaves the world to walk with God. Who is going to step out this morning? How many men are going to step out step out and be a true vine to their wives and children. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. I'm an old man now. I've been meditating for years on the Word of God, and God has blessed me with a painful back, and I am so thankful for it. I waken up and I meditate on the Word of God, and it doesn't necessarily always heal my back, but it heals my soul and my spirit, and revives my soul and my spirit, and brings me to worship him in the midst of the darkness of the night. Oh, how I love the Lord. Oh, how I love the Lord. I switched my daughter's cell phone, her handy, on. She'd left it here. She'd been at Bibles, and she is so blessed and loves you and greets you. She was so blessed here for months. And I switched on her cell phone. Do you know what's in there before you get to the system grasps? Jesus, I love you with all my heart. If she's got that, I can go. I can leave here. If my kids and my wife love and are faithful and walking with the Lord, I can go now. But here it says, and here we get to the vine, he shall be like a tree. And my brother Jimmy this morning said, rooted and grounded in love, that is the vine. And you, my brother, are a tree, and you, my sister, are a tree. We are trees planted by the water. Have you ever thought of how deeply rooted trees are? 2/3 is underneath the earth, and 1/3 is on top. But today, we Christians are mushrooms. 9/10 on top, and 1/10 below. That's mathematically right, is it? I'm never good at maths. You walk through the woods, you kick a tree, and you're limping for the rest of your life. You kick a mushroom and you don't even realize it. Unmovable. Steadfast. Steadfast, my brother. Step out and be steadfast. Paul was not moved. Unmoved by the wickedness in this world, because we have an overcomer. And Paul says, all things I can do through Christ, in whom I am deeply rooted and grounded. And here we have the great I am, back to John. I'm trying to bridge this gap. I am the true vine, my brothers and sisters, and we must be true vines, especially brothers. We have a responsibility for our wives as children, as Christ has for the church. Every branch in me. Are you in him? And he in you? And we in the Father? I ran across a verse a few years ago, and I love it. We don't read it a lot, but the great philosopher, our apostle Paul, who is just an outstanding man, an outstanding teacher and preacher, but also a philosopher, a Jew and a Roman. He was a thinker. And he says in Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, speaking to the thinkers, and I hope we're all thinkers, I hope we're all meditating on the word. Paul says, for in him, that's what we have here, in the vine, I am in you and you are in me and we are in God. And he speaks just in different words, in such a way that these
philosophers, these thinkers will understand him. For in him we live. We are secure in him. We are covered in him. In him we live and move and have our being. I am that I am in Christ. Paul says, everything that I am in Christ. Outside Christ, I am nothing. Have you ever felt like that out there? Nothing. Nothing. I don't mean anything. I don't know anything. And I'm worth nothing in this world. But for him, I am precious. I am precious in his eyes. And Paul sees this. For in him we live and move and have our being, everything. My self-esteem, I have found it in him. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells that is my foundation. Hey, Jesus loves me. It blows my mind. Because I know where I come from. But Jesus loves me. And have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also of his offspring. Here we have the spring in the desert. Here with this vine coming up. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. James, you tell me you believe and you have no works?
I tell you the devil believes.
You read it. I'm not saying anything that's not in the Bible. The devil believes and has no works. That's why they're taken away. Where there is no fruit, there is no life. But we must relax. These verses are beautiful. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Here, now, pruning is cleansing. Back to this picture in the desert, where the vine is growing out of the sand, and the branches are so long that they droop down and land in the sand. And you know what the wine gardener does? He walks through his garden. He kneels down. He picks up the fruit vine. He washes it with water. And he puts it on a rock. Man, if that's not a symbol, being washed by the word of God and being, after we've been in the dust of the world, being placed on a solid rock, the foundation of the grace and love in Jesus Christ that is enough to cover all your sins. That's a foundation. I cannot be moved. If I am sitting on a rock, built on a rock, his word is a rock. It's reliable. It never changes. It never moves. He is immovable. He never changes. He is always there. We can go back to him. And now we go back to Ephesians in our mind, okay? You go in your minds, I'll read this passage to you. And he is speaking about the man in his relationship to the wife as Christ is to the body, to the church. Okay, and he says, husbands, love your wives. That's easy, isn't it? Get into bed and I've loved my wife. That's what the teachers out there today. If you love your wife, you give your life for your wife. You forget yourself and you love your wife. You love your wife until she is like butter in your hands.
it's love that breaks us. And our wives are hard. Sometimes they're even rebelling. Life is so difficult. I'll tell you why, my dear brother. Because you are not loving your wife. And Paul speaks very clearly in every area. From the body to the soul and to the spirit. You love your wife and she will be like butter in your hand. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ. You see, here is the parallel all the time. I'm not making this. This is in the Bible. Just as Christ also loved the church. The principle is the same one. And what it's a very high calling. As Christ. Man, that is a challenge. Gave himself for her that he might sanctify and, here we're back to the grapes, cleanse her, wash her. Come on. I fell in love with Gabby and I was dying to do this. I couldn't wait till get married. I said, darling, I've understood the scripture. Let's get married. I want to get you into the bath. I want to bath you, darling. I'm not exaggerating. This is written here. Do you know, in German it is, in das Wasser Bad des Wortes. In the water bath of the word. Isn't that a beautiful, what a privilege to be able to bathe our wives as Christ washes the. How do we do it? With the word. Could be that there are men here who have been walking with Christ and have never, ever opened the Bible with their wives at home. It's not uncommon. And it's not going to work. Unless you get under that water with your wife, your marriage is never going to work. And when people come for counseling, especially couples, I say, are you reading the Bible? Huh? Bible? We pick it up at church when we come in. You buy yourself a Bible, you read it. Do you know if they do it, they never come back for any more counseling. The word does it itself, the water of the word. So here we have back to our picture in John. It's wonderful how the word of God is knit together in such a beautiful way. It fits Old and New Testament so beautifully, so logically. There are people that believe, very brainy Christians that believe that the Bible contradicts itself. My dear brother, my dear sister, you need your brain washed if you believe that. And I say it in all respect. God does not contradict himself. The man twists the word of God. And there are problems in the translation. But the word of God, who is Jesus Christ himself, does not contradict himself. He is true and faithful. He is the truth. And every branch that bears fruit prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. I'm working down there in Koblenz. We're trusting the Lord that he's going to start off a new little church. And I'm meeting with 20 Christians. And I said, I believe that we should make a clear decision that we are going to abide in the Lord and abide in love for each other. And we are not going to let go of Jesus and we are not going to let go of each other, because as Christ abides in his love for me, never lets me down, so I must love you, so we must love each other, and if we abide, there's going to be fruit. When I started off my ministry in Hanover, we were a church of 60 that was split over and over again for dogmatic, theologic, cultural, don't know reasons. Today we're a church that meets in the cinema of over 400 people.
And people come and ask, how did you do it? And first of all, I did not do it. Second, I do not know how. Because the wind blows where it wills, and you can hear and see what's happening, but you do not know how. There is no method. The method is abiding, if there is one. The only thing is abiding in the Lord and abiding in our love for each other, no matter what happens. No matter what happens. And if we abide, and that's what the text says, there will be fruit. Go back to Psalm 1. We've got to finish in 7 minutes. Go back to Psalm 1. It's always green, right? We're all Irish. It's always green, the tree. But it brings fruit at its time. And we are always wanting to bring fruit. We go into missions. We come to Mallorca. We go to India. And we want to help Jesus. And we mean it well in our hearts. It's like a kid is sitting on the floor smashing everything with his wooden hammer. And you ask him, what are you doing, sonny boy? Daddy, I'm helping you. It's no difference with us. Please do not believe. Jesus himself said, I cannot do it unless it is given by the Father. Now you tell me, if Jesus cannot do it, how can I do it? And that is a great relief. If I abide in him, that's what it, and that is the difficult thing. Abiding in him, being faithful to him, loving him in whatever situation. When it's stormy, when it's rainy, when my wife is angry, when she's pregnant again for the 7th time. Abiding in the love. Never letting go. Hey, marriages. The ones that are made, this is my bank account, and this is yours in case we get divorced. Well, that is great hope. What kind of love is this? It's rubbish. It's nothing but bodily lust and selfishness and self-satisfaction and nothing else. Abide. Do you know, I was speaking to a lovely sister there just the other day, and I have so many lovely sisters. I'm quite safe today because I'm an old man. And I'm okay with the lovely sisters. I don't plan to be like Abraham. Lovely sisters. And the sister says to me, Peter, it's so difficult in my marriage. We're having such a right time. But you know, I've learned to understand that abiding in difficult times, as Job did, abiding in difficult times, not letting go. If it's by the skin of my teeth, I'm going to hang on to him. Lord, I'm not going to let you go. My dear wife, my dear husband, I am not going to. And that has made my marriage rich. My marriage is rich because my wife has loved this fat, ugly, little, revolting Scotchman. And that makes me so rich. I'll tell you, brother and sister, and I mean this from all my heart. My wife loves me in such a way that I cannot.